if you will, to Romans chapter 15. We're going to have two texts tonight we're going to look at. Romans 15 and Psalm 40. We're going to look at Romans 15 first. And as my pastor always told me, I want to help you if you'll let me. I hope that wasn't earmuffs for a bunch of people. I want to help you if you'll let me. I think the Lord showed me something in this today. I've been carrying this around for a week and a half. I had a message ready last Wednesday in the same area. But I want us to be able to, I want to give it to you the way I got it. And at the end, it'll make sense. We're going to start in Romans. I'm going to preach out of Psalm 40, and then we're going to touch back on Romans before we go home. Here in verse 30, Romans 15, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, my preaching, my message that I've got sent to do, my ministry, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Paul said, you pray for me. Troubled times are coming to Paul. Paul's about to preach to some saints, and he's about to preach some big old high-minded giraffes up there in Jerusalem. Boy, they know a whole lot. And they ain't believing. They're just going to beat him up. They're going to chide him. They're going to pick on him and wrestle him and say, let's talk about this. Well, I just don't think this is right. They're going to wear him out. He tells these brethren, beloved of the Lord, he said, you pray with me. God, I'm praying for myself. Lord, keep me. Deliver me for them people. Was it that Paul didn't like preaching? Do you think that's why he dreaded going back to those Jews? I mean, know him his whole life. Maybe some of them still didn't hate him. Maybe some of them didn't call him Saul no more. They said, well, we'll call him Paul for a little bit, see how that works out. Why would he hate preaching to them? He didn't hate preaching to everybody, did he? Look down in verse 15. Romans 15, 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. God gave me a great grace. Here's what it is. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Oh, Paul got to minister to the Gentiles. Now you hit the pause button and you think about that for a good long while. Here is this learned man. Oh, I know so much. I can quote so much scripture. I know the law. I know Moses. I know them first five books of the Bible like you wouldn't believe. Them Gentile dogs. Ain't even Jews. They ain't got a law. They ain't got a tablet. They ain't got a tabernacle. They ain't got nothing. And he says, it's the grace of God I get to go preach to the Gentiles. He says that more than once, don't he? Why would Paul be so happy about that? Why would he be so happy to preach the gospel of Christ as a savor of life unto those folks that are just dirty old sinners? Didn't have no holiness of their own, because that's what it was. It was a savor of life unto life. Paul said something, and them eyes perked up a little bit. A tear was shed. An arrow went into the heart. God did it. And they said, that's my God. What you said is true. You're a man of God. And that's who I believe. And why would he hate to preach to those learned, those ones that feed on the higher doctrines, those knowledgeable ones, those Jews in Jerusalem? The gospel is a savor of death unto death to those that already have their own righteousness, to those that's justified themselves, that don't need God. I do it on my own. God says that's a savor of death unto death. They're going to hate it. They're going to ever learning and never able to come to the truth. What's the truth in Scripture? Christ. I can tell you all about Christ. I can tell you how tall he was. I can tell you what he looked like. I can tell you that city refuge. I can paint you a picture of every brick on the wall. That ain't going into it. Savor of death unto death. That's the most frightening thing I've read in a long time. Ever learning and never coming to Christ. Those that can tune their own ears. I know what to listen to. I'm strong. I'm big. I decided I wanted to start listening to this. That sounded better. That sounded more logical. I figured this out. You didn't tune your own ears. Savor of death unto death. What kind of gospel could Paul preach of this service, of this message that he preached, not wearing a tie. Probably didn't have a haircut. He had shaved real fresh in a certain spot. What kind of gospel could he preach that would cut somebody down to nothing and say, and make them humble, and say, "That's my God. Lord, if you will, you could save me." And what's the same thing he preached? Out of the same mouth, the same words that say, "I won't have it. You hush. You don't know nothing." Some hillbilly down here talking to us. Some Saul, that's all you are. What could he preach? Look here in verse 18 and 19. Romans 15, verse 18. "Through mighty signs and wonders, but by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Lycaonium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. What did Paul preach that those Gentiles just loved? They couldn't get enough of. They was hungry and they come to mealtime. And that those Jews absolutely could not stand. Those that had their own righteousness could not stand. It was the full gospel of Christ. I want to ask you something. What is it when someone fully preaches the gospel of Christ? Were we saved under the full gospel of Christ? Is that what we were hearing when God saved us? If you were saved, that's what you was hearing. Could God save somebody under a false gospel? He said, "I ain't going to do it." He said, "They won't benefit my people because I didn't send them." That ain't how he saves a man. He saves them by the truthful preaching, the foolishness of preaching, the full gospel of Christ. That's not another gospel. It's not close. So many so-called Christian soldiers, they want people to preach. "Do you preach the full gospel down there, Pastor?" Notice it's not the full gospel of Christ they ask for, is it? "You preach the full gospel." And every time someone's told me that, every time somebody comes up and says, "Well, now, do you know the full gospel?" There's one spoke in that wheel that they're wanting to hear. I want to hear something about baptism. I want to hear something about tongues, about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit preaching. I want to hear something about Sabbath. Oh, there's something about Sabbath. I want to hear about Sabbath. Morality. Boy, that's a big one. You have holy living down there? You fully live according to God's Word? I can train a dog to bark every time it hears solas. I can train a dog to bark every time I said one of the 5 points of Calvinism, couldn't I? I could train it to bark every time I said Spurgeon. And do you think that dog knows what he's barking for? Do you? He's just barking for a treat, ain't he? They don't care about what word you say. They just say, "That's the word that people like. I'm going to nod my head and I'll shake hands." Do you and I care about the full gospel of Christ? You listening to me? Do you know what the full gospel of Christ is? Do we want to hear the fullness of God's gospel preached to us? Or can you stand on something else? "Oh, I take that. That's my Christian brethren." I don't think so. They're God. They're really something else. They ain't your brethren underneath God. What do you think the full gospel is? I hope he's a penetrating question. What do I think the full gospel of Christ is? What you think and what I think don't matter. It does not matter what either one of us think. It doesn't matter what a man thinks of God a long, long time ago. It doesn't matter what the commentators say, what the preacher in the last generation says. You know what so-and-so says? It don't matter what they say. What matters is what God says about fully preaching the gospel of Christ. His Christ. That's the only thing that matters. I'm going to have a verdict today. I'm preaching for a verdict. That's what I'm preaching for. If God will enable you to stay with me, you'll walk out of here one of two ways. You'll walk out into that parking lot and you'll say, "That's it. That is the message of salvation. If a sinner is going to go be with Christ and be made like Him one day, that's how it's going to happen right there. That's it." Or you're going to walk out of here being ignorant of God's grace. Well, I don't think He covered all that well. Go home, check my notes. I'm going to take some notes. God help us to listen. And God bless His Word to our ears and our hearts tonight. Let's look at this, what this fully preaching the gospel of Christ is. Turn over to Psalm 40. This is a messianic psalm. They all are. David wrote it. These are David's words. But David wasn't just made a king by God. He was God's prophet too. After His own heart. He said, I sent Him, there's a man after my own heart. The Lord said that twice about David. We probably ought to pay attention to him, huh? The Holy God purposed to save a people long ago, before this earth was made. How He did it, the work of doing that, is unimaginable to me and you. Man cannot fully enter into how God performed all of this, and His providence, and His power, and His purpose of saving His people. We know it's His purpose, but we can't enter into it. The love of that purpose, the love that motivated the purpose of God to save a people, His work towards His elect, it's immeasurable. Immeasurable. God is love, and we don't know what that means. We can't enter into it. We may have a taste of it. We may have a glimpse of it, but we can't fully enter into it. Look here in verse 5. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. That's me and you. you that know the Lord. He's thought of us. That's something, isn't it? They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. They can't be counted. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Some people may say of a preacher, he's not that good. Of a gospel preacher. Man, don't give poison. He gives the bread of living life. He's not that good. He's not that thorough. He's not easy to follow. Who can preach the fullness of the Lord's covenant of grace towards His sheep? Can you? Can't be numbered? Can you? Can't be reckoned? Who's sufficient for these things? People say, well, count your blessings. You're going to be tied up for a long while if the Holy Spirit's given you a new heart and eyes to see Him, eyes to see Christ. You're going to be busy. All that was done for His chosen people, and all that love toward us in His power. All of that is not because of something in the person. It's not because of something in the center. You choosing, you doing, you exerting any energy whatsoever. It wasn't out of doing. The Holy Ghost moved on us and gave us life, gave us ears to hear, eyes to see Him. When that happens, you can say for the first time, truly, that you can hear salvations of the Lord. Lord opens them ears up, gives you a new heart, and you hear salvations of the Lord. You say, that's right. It is. 100%. What's that mean? It's all of Him. We can talk about it for eons, couldn't we? We will be. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering Thou did not desire. Mine ears hast Thou opened. He's the one that did it. Burnt offering and sin offering hast Thou not required. Well, we must have some sin if we got to give a sin offering. Well, that ain't even required either, is it? What will the holy God that we offended accept? What will He take? We are told in the whole Old Testament. All of it points to the sacrifice that was acceptable. The Lamb of God was satisfied with blood and truly covered our sins on that mercy seat. Not just as a picture, but in our hearts. Not just a ceremony, not just a type. That's what had to happen. All those spotless lambs, every one of them pointed to the spotless Lamb, Christ our Lord. That's what the Lord accepts. Look in verse 7. This is our Lord speaking here. This is Christ speaking. How do we know that? Paul told us in Hebrews 10. You can read all about it. Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. He came to honor the Father, to uphold His glory and His holiness. He did. He did. He came to save His people from their sins. He did. He came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. He did. It's done. He came to finish the will of the Father. He came to ratify His lordship. The crown rights of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is proven that He did by where He is now. Seated on His throne forever. In the Old Testament, this acceptable bloody sacrifice, this spotless lamb, this Messiah was coming. All throughout the Gospels, the God-man, here he is. This is him. He's here. This is what he did. This is what he said. This is what he preached. The epistles, he's coming again. He's coming twofold again. To his people, those put in him before the foundation of the world, purposed by the Father, he's coming to his people. They're going to hear him. They're going to follow him. They're going to love him. They're going to love their brethren. God said so. Next Sunday evening, we might be in 1 Thessalonians 1. Am I the elect of God? Paul lays it out pretty plain. About 6 or 7 different things there. What one looks like. He came, he lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again for his sheep, and he did it willingly. He did it willingly. Look here in verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The law is written within my heart. He was a servant of the law for his people. The profitable servant, the good and faithful servant for every bit of the law. The moral law, the Mosaic law, the Levitical law, the precepts, precept upon precept. That was him. It was written in it for his people. Not for everybody, for his people. And it has been fulfilled. Do you know how we know that? Is that something new? You read the first 5 books of the Bible. That's Moses, right? That's the Torah. All about Moses. Picture of the law. We get to the 6th book of the Bible. Joshua. Joshua's the same name as Jesus. He shall save his people. And you know what it says? Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses is minister. He served the law. He served the law, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Those that just love the law. I hate to tell you, a long time ago, that law was dead in Joshua, Christ our Savior. It was fulfilled whenever he went into that covenant of grace before time. We honor it. We love his law. It's written on our hearts too, isn't it? Because that's what he came to fulfill. That's why we love it. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. Right there is the whole story of salvation and the promise of God and the children of God going to glory in 2 paragraphs. Ain't that something? 2 sentences. Verse 5 through 8 there, this is what happened before you and I were born. A purpose and a covenant. Psalm 40 verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou did not require, desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. A good friend of mine, we talked last week about preaching and teaching. There's been a Bible study and preaching. We talked for a good long while about it. And he got up Sunday and he preached about teaching on preaching and teaching. I can't describe it. Beautiful. It was fabulous. What I just told you, I've been teaching. It's in my job description. That's all right. It ain't going to hurt nothing. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to teach you some things. What about this preaching? What about this preaching? I've told you a whole bunch of facts right now. I could write these on a dead door, and that door is going to hold them up till it falls over. These are truths. What about the preaching? 6 things. I got 6 points, and I'll go fast. I won't keep you long. 6 things, and then we're going to see the result of those 6 things of preaching the whole full gospel of Christ, and then we're going to see what it does inside of a person. This is simple. It's simple. You got a country bumpkin in front of you telling you 6 simple things about the full gospel of Christ. Don't let that offend you. Don't let that plug your ears. Paul said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, now you got to understand some things. No, it's pretty simple. There's a simplicity in Christ. Verses 9 and 10 is Christ speaking to His Father, telling Him what He preached on this earth and what He preached to the hearts of His children through God the Holy Ghost. Do you want to hear the full gospel of Christ? From Christ? Say what Kevin Thacker thinks. Say what John Gill thinks. Here's what Christ taught to His Father. It's holy communication. First and foremost, here's the first thing, verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. What's the first thing our Lord tells the Lord that He preached? God is holy. God is holy. All of His righteous acts are because of, the product of, His holy nature. That's what righteousness is. What He does is right. He doesn't do what's right. God does it, it's right. An unclean thing cannot be in His presence. He's holy. The holy, unapproachable God is who He preached. His righteousness is what Christ preached. Everything about Him is holy. You know it says, these are my holy angels. His holy temple, His holy tabernacle. The holiest of holies in the tabernacle. His kingdom's holy. This is His holy scriptures right in front of us. The holy Bible. His holy throne above. God is holy. He's holy. That's what it says in verse 10, isn't it? It says He's not been hiding Thy righteousness. But up in verse 9 it says, I have preached righteousness. God has His own holiness, His own righteousness. But for His people, through Christ being made sin, that's a noun. Kevin Thacker's a noun. From Him being made me, through Christ being made sin, we are made the righteousness of God in Him. That's immeasurable. That's innumerable. Can you reckon that? Can you tally that up? The blessings and the benefits and the holiness of that? Can't do it, can you? And this is not hid. That's just, thank you, Sunday, for preaching to me, Bob. You taught me some things and you preached to me. If somebody, God opens their eyes up and they say, God's holy. That ain't hid in a napkin. It's not taken by myself. I'm going to fold it up, cover it. I'm going to hunk over it. And I'm going to go run to the hills and hide out till the Lord comes back. That ain't what happens. Christ said it wasn't hid in Him. Are we going to be made like Christ? God made you righteousness. You will follow Him. And it's going to come out of you. You're going to tell people about it. You won't be able to stand it if you're a new creature. If we're going to preach the full gospel of Christ, we're going to tell about Thy righteousness, the Lord's righteousness, and how sinners are made righteous, that we don't have our own. We need His. And we're going to take a lot of preaching to cover that, isn't it? We're going to get that done in one message. We never will cover it. Second, what else is preached? Verse 10. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness. Faithfulness. God is faithful to His people. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am always with you. He's faithful to comfort us, isn't He? He's faithful to come to us and say His first thing in a big old trial, fear not, it is I. And He doesn't change. That's how faithful He is. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because He doesn't change, because of His faithfulness and His holiness, His righteousness, yet therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Is that your God? It's a God of the Bible. He's not dependent on man. He's not wishy-washy. The Hebrew writer said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. He's the same forever. And the gifts He gives to His people, His faith to them, not something they muster up, His faith that He gives, He ain't going to take that back. Ain't that a good thing? You ever been given something and you think, boy, this is mine now. And then somebody comes and says, give me that back. I changed my mind. Even if I didn't like it, I kind of like it then, don't I? I don't know if I want it, but I want to keep it. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When the faithful God, the one who is faithful, not me and you, that ain't us, that ain't from us, when He gives us His faith, the faith of Christ, it is not returned. That gift of faith is not returned. And it can't be refused, can't be resisted. That gracious gift of faith is given, and you're going to keep it forever. And if you get it, ain't nobody going to be mad about it. You'll be just fine. You'll be tickled to death. Be thanking the Lord. This isn't Walmart type of saving faith where it's freely given to a person. And you can take it back and have a return department if you don't like it. It came at too dear a price. Too dear a price. The triune God is faithful to His people. But what a blessing. He is faithful to Himself. He's righteous and He gives us His righteousness. He is faithful and He's faithful to us to give us faith. But He's faithful to Himself. He honored His own holiness for His name's sake. Christ was faithful to the Father. How? By being our substitute. That protected His namesake. By Christ dying on the cross, God was just, and at the same time, He's the one that justifies. He remained holy and was merciful. Something happened this week, and I have a child that was going to receive a reward, and they didn't do what they're supposed to do. And then they went above and beyond to get where they were supposed to be on that level to get what I told them. But they still ain't made it all the way. Inside of my heart, I'm like, but child, you worked hard. I want to give you what I promised you. You've earned it. Fully, you've earned it. I want to be merciful. You know why? There's a God that was merciful to me. Gave me something I didn't earn, didn't deserve. But at the same time, I live in this world, don't I? My citizenship is in heaven, but my body's right here. I'm still a dad, and I want my word to be true. I told you, I'm going to stand up to what I say. If it comes out of my mouth, you can count on it. Right? Well, I'm kind of in a quandary, ain't I? I want to show mercy, and I want to remain just. I was walking up down my driveway the other day when this hit me. I about started bawling. And I was telling my friend about it this morning. I was crying again. Out of love, I want to be merciful and I want to be just. I cannot be both. God is. Through Christ. He is the just and the justifier. We can't enter into that. That's innumerable. That's unmeasurable. And that's what saves sinners. That's how we're saved. David wrote to us in Psalm 85, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Where did that happen? At the cross of Calvary, that's where it happened. There was a substitution. That ain't possible with man. It is with God. There in verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness. Christ preached, the apostles preached, the prophets preached. God preaches in this day through His preachers that God is faithful. He's holy and He's faithful. Not man's doing, not our strong faith. It's God who's faithful. He's the object of our faith. Now thirdly, it says in verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness in my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Salvation is the workmanship of God in His people, for His people, and for His glory. Jonah learned this, didn't he? I have no interest in being put inside the belly of a whale. But if you come out of that whale knowing salvation's of the Lord, you'll be real thankful for that whale. You won't go back in it. But you'll be thankful for that whale. We read so often, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That's why we got to quit having these smorgasbords and start taking smaller bites to do us good. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate. Did. Them he also called, and whom he called, they're already called. Them he also justified, and whom he justified. He says when justifies, folks, he justified them. He justified, to them he also glorified. If that God is for you, ain't nobody can be against you. And if that God ain't for you, ain't nobody can help you. From the conception of this thought of salvation, when the Lord said, I'm going to make a covenant with my son, I'm going to make a whole mess of people just like him. From the ordering of all things for that to happen, to the saving of them, to the preserving of them, and to the culmination of us actually going home to glory, salvation is of the Lord. It is thy salvation. I ain't got a dog in this fight. I'm just the benefactor. This world has things backwards, don't it? You need to do something for God and He will save you. That's a false gospel. That is wrong. God needs to do something for you and then you're saved. All right, fourthly, verse 10. Christ preached thy righteousness within His heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. If the Holy Spirit has given you life, you will be moved by this. The loving kindness in the Father's purpose of saving a people. If that don't melt you, nothing will. If He showed you you're a sinner, not that you got some bad stuff. I mean it's your sin. God the Father purposed to love you before time. Save you. Boy, that'll make your knees weak. He loved His people. That love in the Son's person and work. His attitude of love walking this earth. His accomplishment of laying down His life for His friends. That's true love, isn't it? What love? The loving kindness of the Holy Ghost. Coming to us, showing us what we are, convicting us. We're sin. What about that righteousness? Christ is the righteousness. I got to do something else? It's done. Judgment's accomplished. There's therefore now no condemnation. Right now. I'm fully equipped. From the second we are given life, to there's Christ. You can die right then and you're going to be in glory forever. You are fully qualified to enter the presence of a holy God. The Holy Spirit came and told me about that. He abounded toward me. He formed and tackled me in heart and did a work in me. And just like a can of soda, shake it up. It's going to come out if you open it. Let me open my mouth. I'm going to tell you about it if I can. And the love we now have from this new birth, we possess it right now. My Lord ain't here for me to hug. The closest thing I have to Christ on this earth is my brethren, Him dwelling in you. I love my brethren. I appreciate my brethren. I like to be around my brethren. My Lord dwells in them. That's Christ in you. Somebody don't want to be around a brother, they probably don't like him. Loving kindness, it'll touch you. I'm declaring to you what the full gospel is, the full good news of Christ, the full gospel of Christ. What does that culminate in? What's the climax of that? Fifthly, verse 9. I have preached the righteousness of the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. I am the way and the what? The truth and the life. And no man come to the Father except by Him. The fullness of the gospel of Christ is the fullness of the Godhead in a body. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Explain that. I believe it. I believe it. It's the person and work of Christ. That is simple. God wanted to make a whole mess of people just like His Son. And in perfect holiness, He was faithful to save them to the uttermost. Remaining holy and just the whole time. Every bit of that's a perfect act of love. And it's all Christ. That's where it all took place. All hinges on Him. That's how we are preserved too. Do you know that? That needs preached, don't it? This ain't just something written on a wall somewhere. We go take a picture of and we see it, but we don't enter into it. We are preserved forever through Him that sanctified us. Look here, verse 11. Withhold thou not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. There's prayer. You're going to start praying. What did the Lord come to Ananias and say, hey, you go down there to Saul of Tarsus and you go preach to him. I've called him. He said, I know about him. He's infamous. I don't want to go down there. He said, he's mine. You'll know it's him. He's praying. Now we'll start praying out to the God, not a God, the God. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. The love of God in Christ is what eternally reserves sinners saved by grace. Not us, Him. His loving kindness, His love, and His truth, Himself. Back in Romans 15, you ain't got to turn there, but Paul's saying that he fully preached the gospel of Christ. That's what he told them. This is what he's talking about. Exactly what Christ preached. Christ came to this earth and he preached Christ. The Gentiles, those filthy people, harlots. That's just so. That sounds like come out of a Disney movie nowadays, don't it? That's a bad word. Prostitutes, fishermen, people that smell bad, thieves, murderers, bad folks. He preached this to them. And you know what? That was good news. That was glad tidings to some poor old Gentile. To a sinner. You'd find one of them. There's a whole mess of people know a lot about sin. And they ain't a sinner. God's got to come. I can shoot barbed arrows into a dead man all day long and he won't flinch. A tear won't come out of his eye. He's dead. God has to come to him and give him life. Then there'll be tears flowing. The reprobate don't care. Just them Gentiles, just them poor old sinners. Oh, they love it. Paul said, oh, what grace the Lord gave me to go preach to Gentiles. Keep me out of that. I don't want to go there either. If I got an opportunity to go preach at a prison or up at one big theological seminaries or something like that, I won't go to prison. Not every day of the week. How does the child of God respond to this preaching? Not teaching, the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, of His righteousness, His faithfulness, His salvation, His love. His love. And it's all wrapped up in Christ. He's every bit of it. How do they respond? What happens when this is declared in the heart? I talked to my brother John Reeves this morning. I texted him. I said, if you get time, I need to preach something to you. And so I preached every bit of this in 15 minutes to him. Fast as I could talk. And I said, now here's where I started. I got to show them where I started. This is where the Lord gave it to me. How am I going to wrap this up? And I was so focused on the preaching. And he just said, Kevin, it's right there in the next verses. It's almost like I needed my brethren. Look here in verse 12. Here's the result of this preaching. The fully preaching Christ and Him crucified. Verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken a hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth. There's going to be a conviction of sin. Not pretend. It's going to be real. And then there's going to be a crying and begging for mercy. Verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Thou make haste to help me. What's he saying? That's just like that one leper did, didn't it? Lord, if thou wilt, you're holy. It's up to you. You're the one that's faithful. You're the one that's able. You're the one that salvation is. If you're willing, if it pleases you, Lord, you can make me whole. If thou wilt. Do we bow to the person of Christ? Him preaching Christ in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Do we bow to that? Or do we find something else to do? Can we feed on that and feed on something else? Or do we have to have Him and Him alone? Do we fully need Christ? Or we, I need some help. Do you need saved or do you need help? like Paul. Let's both pray that I be delivered from the troublesome people that bite and devour and divide and nag and carry on and want to debate and everything else. I pray I don't have to put up with that. You pray with me. And pray that I can preach the full gospel of Christ unwaveringly. Not just read something out of a piece of paper. Like it's just dead words laying on a page. But to tell it to men and women faithfully. Keep me faithful. And that'll be a blessing to the saints. Blesses his saints. I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's pray together.